out. Oh, baby, what a play.
This is Jeff Fedotin with Believe in Chiefs on the Believe Network, Kansas City's number one sports podcast network, the only place with a show for every team in KC and more. We believe in our teams. Do you believe? On this week's show, former Kansas City Chiefs offensive lineman Joe Valerio and I discuss the latest training camp news and notes. Joe, before we get into training camp, I wanted to discuss a story I wrote for Forbes.com. I spoke to former Chiefs Pro Bowler Tom Mahaly about his mentorship, which he actually calls a friendship, with second-year edge rusher George Karlaftis. It's really cool. And Joe, some connections to you beyond the Chiefs connection. Tom Mahaly grew up in Teaneck, New Jersey. Don't know if that's near you. And he, of course, went to the other Pennsylvania school, some school called Penn State.
Yeah. Yeah. Not the Quakers, but no, but Tom, he's a Teaneck's North Jersey, hour two away from where I grew up in Philly. So yeah, he's got that nice East Coast vibe to him. Fantastic player, great human being. Like, what an amazing story, Jeff, that you put out there to show how friendships can transcend, generations of players, and even being on this, didn't have to be on the same team at the same time, right, to strike up a friendship and want to move things forward, right? And Tom, given that kind of sage, martial arts kind of like mentality to George. So I really great job there, Scoop. That's going to be your new nickname on the show, Scoop Fedotin. But that was fantastic. And I really, really enjoyed reading it. And, martial arts can be a really big part of, of hand fighting and what it takes to have body balance and body movement on an NFL field. We used to do, the Chiefs used to bring in a guy who trained us in Bushidokan, which is like a street fighting form of martial arts. And it was all a lot of hand motions. And I'm telling you, that really helped me a lot because, it becomes, in the NFL, blocking at that level, it becomes a lot of hand fighting with, guys that are edge rushers, especially. So I benefited from it. So it was cool to kind of see that come alive.
Yeah, that's really interesting to hear. I've heard about how, and we'll get into how Hawley did this and instructed Karlaftis on it, but I've heard how some defensive linemen did it. I didn't know if they were doing that back in the 90s. That's very cool. Like, was that like a few years into your career, Joe, or when did they do that with the Chiefs?
Pretty much the whole time. Dave Redding, really? Our strength coach, Dave Redding, our strength coach, used to bring in a contact of his that he had befriended in the Kansas City area. And, he was there for us a couple of days a week during the off season. And, after we were done our workouts or whatever, he'd bring somebody over and, he'd bring all of us over and we'd take us through stretching, take us through some of the hand fighting and the motions, the movements, and we get in and do it against each other. And, that kind of stuff can't hurt. Mm-hmm. Right. So, It can't hurt to be more flexible, and it can't hurt to be more diverse in your skill set, as it relates to trying to translate what you do out on the field or what you do in the locker room or in the practice field out into the field. So I benefited from it. I think that combined with my boxing that I did as a kid, with my dad and my brother. My dad was a professional and, taught me how to use my hands a little bit, how to take a hit. Until my nose just got way too big, and it hurt. It hurt, when you have a nose as big as I do and you haven't had it broken, it just, my eyes used to water and you're going to get hit, right? If you're not getting hit, it means you're not boxing, right? So it's not as if you can avoid getting hit. And Jeff, when I used to get hit in the nose, it used to hurt so bad, especially as I got older in my teens. And I was like, all right, I gotta give this up. I gotta hang up the gloves. Cause it, my dad was like, listen, unless you get your nose busted, it's going to hurt every time you get hit there. Cause it's, think about it. I mean, you have a bony nose and I've got a nice big Roman schnoz. So, I definitely need to put a helmet on.
It benefited you in some areas in life. I'm sure, made you, that's why you're such a TV celebrity back in KNBC 9 days with that massage, with that look of yours,
and had
the downside of costing you a boxing career, maybe. So.
When I told my dad I was going to be on the news when I got the gig at Channel 9, he's like, "Wow, Joey, You always had a face for radio, but we'll see how the TV gig works out. So, but Jeff, funny thing about having a big nose, you know, playing football is when I was in college, there was a bike manufacturer, a helmet manufacturer named Bike.
Sure.
And they were bike helmets. Uh-huh. And bike helmets were really cool because the face masks were very close to your face and they made you look really tough.
Uh-huh.
But especially for linemen, right? And they were a little more compact than some mm-hmm. of the big, you know, cages that I wore in college. And I'll never forget, I went to the equipment manager and said, hey, can I get one of those new bike helmets? I was going into my senior year and I was like, figure, hey, he'll take care of the senior, you know, an old guy on the team or whatever. And I put on one of the bike helmets and my nose was touching the face mask. That's how big it was. So he goes, listen, you're not getting that helmet. He goes, that's not a liability I'm putting on my shoulders. You know, you busting your nose up because I gave you a helmet that was too small. So I couldn't even wear a bike helmet not a bike helmet as in like a riding my bike helmet, but a bike brand. Riddell bike brand. And so that's my big nose helmet story.
That is great. That is funny stuff there, Joe. Yeah. And it's interesting how you mentioned how jiu-jitsu helps with all the hand fighting, which that makes sense. Holly was saying that it actually helps with leverage and hip movement, things I guess you need for pass rushing. And it's really cool how it came about because Karloftis was somebody that he studied and had watched film of Holly and was really wanting to get in touch with him, which shows his appreciation of the past and his desire to get better. And how it actually went down, Joe, is at the 101 Awards, which I'm sure you remember those, still going on in Kansas City. It's been over 50 years. And Karloftis was not at the 101 Awards, but Taba Ali is a Chiefs ambassador, meaning he's one of those guys who supports him. He means he's also got a Super Bowl ring, like some of our buddies did, like Christian Okoye, for being a Chiefs ambassador. Anyhow, he was at the 101 Awards banquet, and one of the Chiefs staffer, who's kind of in charge of player engagement, Ramsey Robinson, went up to Holly and said how Karloftis wanted to get in touch with him, exchange numbers, and then, you know, one thing led to another. They're working out. Joe, Tom Ali actually has a jiu-jitsu, like, I guess, ring, you want to call it, whatever, in his house. And so they come over to his house at, like, 6 a.m., so impressed with Karloftis not only reaching out through the Chiefs in appreciation of the past, but, man, if it's the off season, I would be working out hard, maybe not 6 a.m., you know, like doing jiu-jitsu. So really, really impressive for Karloftis to stick with this. And they worked out, 2 to 3 times a week for about 6 weeks. They actually, I think they would have gone a little bit longer, but Tom Ali is doing better now, but he had a case of gout in his foot. And so they had to kind of cut it off. They had to cut their workouts off.
Nobody will be reading that on Twitter tonight. Ali had his foot amputated. Right,
for burying the lead there. Anyhow, so they had to curtail the workouts, and then OTAs were kind of starting anyhow.
Yeah.
Joe, just really impressed with both these guys that they bridged. They created a connection, a relationship of Chiefs present and past, but also really Karloftis with his appreciation of the past, his willingness and his want to get so much better and learn new skills.
Yeah. You got to love that. Right. I mean, that's the one thing about the Chiefs ambassadors that, you know, it's one of my biggest regrets was, you know, not living in the area or being too close or being able to get back to all those ambassador events. Cause they are a really special group and Kansas City community makes it so easy for, you know, for the Chiefs to be a part of it for former and legacy Chiefs. And it is a really special group. And I just remember being a young player and having those guys around, Dave Lindstrom and, you know, Bobby Bell and just all those guys that were Curtis McClinton and just guys that were always there for us, Ed Lothamer, just to name a few, right? I mean, Larry Marshall, I could just keep going on and on and on with these most impressive guys that were there for us just to kind of just be there, you know, and to tie the past.
Joe, was there a guy that was most helpful to you during the time, and a Chiefs ambassador or somebody you really connected with? I know so many of them were so nice to you, but.
I would have to say Ted McKnight was a guy that I think just an unbelievable human being, right? It just always there to, you know, if he sensed that, you know, you didn't have a good practice, because these guys were always, they were at practice, they'd come on game trips with us. like when he sensed that, you know, things might be going, you know, might be having a tough time as a younger player, like just put his arm around you and, you know, tell you about, you know, what it was going to be like. Yeah. Ted was definitely a guy. Ted McKnight was definitely a guy that I, you know, really. Dave Lindstrom, another one, mm-hmm. just, you know, had successful businessman after football, you know, went on to do great things in business. Ted and I actually are in the same industry. We're both in the insurance industry. So we always had stuff to talk about post retirement and even, you know, beyond the ambassador days while I was playing. You know, Larry Marshall was a guy that was from the Philly area that we talked a lot about. He's a kick returner and a running back. And yeah, they were just great guys to be around and, you know, so welcoming and just made you feel such a part of the community.
Very cool. And more on Chiefs news and also more on the Tamba Hali, George Karlaftis connection. But first, BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and the easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use promo code BELIEV, BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. Joe, did you know Tom at all, given just the, you know, Jersey, Pennsylvania connection and just Chiefs, had you met him at all?
I met him this year for the first time at the Hall of Fame game for Kimball Anders at the Titans game. Yeah, so cool. It was the first time I met him, and it was really super nice guy. There was a couple of events that were going on in the Kansas City area when we were out there. We did Will Shields had an NFL PA event out at the Top Golf, so we got a chance to meet there and then saw him at Kimball's celebration. So yeah, did get a chance to meet him, shake hands with him, introduce myself and catch up. But that had been the first time that I had met him. So yeah, he probably said, hey, how was it playing at Penn State? You know, before I got there, and I'd have to explain, I didn't go to Penn State, you know, with the Penn. No, I'm kidding. No, we did definitely get to meet him. Super great guy, you know, just super. And I hear nothing but great things about him as a person.
Incredibly nice guy and with a really cool background and story that kind of strengthened his bond with Karlaftis. Holly's really, first of all, he's no wonder that he was around for that. He's not only a Chiefs ambassador, but you know, he settled in Overland Park, Kansas. He was a guy like Karlaftis. He was an immigrant and a really nice story that he immigrated from Liberia and to escape civil war. Karlaftis immigrated from Athens, Greece. That story has been told. You know, he was a water polo player back in Athens. So, and he came under adverse situations in the sense that very sad that his Karlaftis' dad had passed away at a very young age, just in his 40s, right before. And then his mom decided to move the family to the States. And then he went to Purdue and was in the area as well, but they bonded over that. And Holly is just a really interesting guy. Not only is he instructing Karlaftis on pass rushing and some other guys, he went to Penn State, his alma mater. He's an accomplished in the music industry. He's got mm-hmm. his own studio. He's
reminds me a little bit, like just tangentially, about, you know, Christian Okoye, right?
Yeah,
you know, coming from Africa. Yeah. Both of them, you know, George and Tama. Coming from, you know, foreign countries and not really growing up here, you know, not spending a lot of their formative years here, and then, you know, getting exposed to this game of a quote air quote American football. And you know, it's really interesting to see how, I love when you read about players that didn't really have an exposure to it, and then all of a sudden they come and have great successful careers, you know, in American football, because you know, it's just not so, it's something you think you have to grow up playing and you really don't.
And what a renaissance man in this for Holly, in the sense that I was talking about his music career, that he has his own record label. He's done kind of everything. He's produced, he's written lyrics. So he's now trying to create a music festival in the States to give kind of Liberians a festival where they can showcase their talent. So kind of a noble effort there. And Joe, I thought the most interesting thing he was saying was, so Teaneck, New Jersey is where they ended up growing up, and to credit, his father ended up being a teacher there. He taught basically various courses in math and science. And Tamba took his course. I thought how weird that must be to be in your father's be a student in your father's classroom. And you know, he said he actually liked it. I thought it would be awkward, but he said he only got to be in it because his father refused to help him on any of the homework. So I thought that was
awesome.
Like, really wasn't pertinent to the story, but kind of a funny thing to leave on the cutting room floor. So
that's so funny. I mean, yeah, it makes me think of my daughter's had my wife as a teacher.
In
middle school for math. Yeah. Yeah. My daughters were pretty good at math, and my wife was teaching the advanced math class. And so it was only class that they could take. So they had to take her. So they tried, you know, didn't want to, they always avoided her when she was teaching elementary school. She never had them in class, but until it just like, just fate had them come together and they had to take her for math. So they had a little code word that when they were not going to call her Mrs. Valerio, right? Uh-huh. In class. Like that would just be really awkward. So they definitely weren't going to call her mom. So they had this code word that they would say, excuse me. And so like, excuse me meant that they were addressing her. So anytime she heard the word excuse me in class, she knew that it was one of the girls like raising their hand and asking her.
That's hilarious. Excuse me. Was she more difficult on your, like that you always hear?
Oh yeah. Like every parent. Yeah. Like every parent who's a teacher or a coach, right? Like, you know, you're always toughest on your own kids. I know when I was coaching my daughters in lacrosse and basketball and softball, and I coached them in all these different sports, I was always tougher on them, gave them less playing time than everybody else, cause I didn't want to appear, you know, favoritism, but when I coached them, I was still an equal playing time guy. So I coached them at the youth age. So I didn't get them, you know, when they were getting into ultra competitive stuff in high school. So I could split time. So that's a whole nother tangential conversation on an aside, but I was at the youth level, I was definitely a 50-50 playing time person. I always felt like you needed to let people see where they could shine at different positions and play equal amounts of time and not like let five kids play the entire game.
Totally. And it's speaking of just different generations, this isn't a different generation thing, but it's very cool. It was a 2006 first round pick and 2022 first round pick in Holly and Karlaftis. And it's very cool that they've kind of created this friendship, you know, with the commonality being the Chiefs. And Joe, we'll go back to some training camp news after we take a real brief break here. Well, Joe, some good news, bad news from Chiefs camp. We'll start with the bad news and then get to the good news. I'm curious your take on both these. One of the major offseason signings for the Chiefs, Charles Omenihu, 6-game suspension. We kind of knew a suspension was coming. I thought 6 games was a little long. I thought it'd be shorter, but for it was a domestic violence situation. Joe, how big a deal is this suspension? How much do you think the Chiefs will miss him, or is it not that big a deal?
Jeff, let's take it two sides of this, right? Let's look at it pure football. Right. Let's forget what it was for a second and just say from a football perspective, anytime, you know, you go out and make a major signing for a starter and he's going to be suspended for 6 games, you're losing flow. Right. And you're losing the ability to see, you know, what it's going to be like to have that player out there. And as you know, we talk about it all the time. Here's my quote again. September is the new preseason. Right. It's going to be tough for him to get back in the swing of things, right? So I think it definitely, you know, we're going to see what the rotation looks like, right, between George and Dana and, you know, being able to get Felix Anudike Uzuma back in there, like in the mix. I mean, you know, does it force him to accelerate a little bit sooner and not give him maybe the time that he needs to develop? And who knows what could happen there? So it definitely throws things in a tizzy for sure. From a pure football perspective. The other thing is, Jeff, you know, the stuff with domestic violence, you can't, like, let's put that football stuff aside, right? Because that's the football side of it. Listen, it has to be set an example that, you know, you know, zero tolerance, right? For this kind of behavior in action. So you know, we'll let the courts and all that stuff decide, you know, what happens legally or civilly or whatever from a legal perspective. That's not us to judge. But, you know, you just can't say how bad something like that is. And, you know, it's got to be zero tolerance to that. So on that side of it, look, he's going to get what is deserved and for what happened, for what he did. So that's like the personal side of it, right? I, you know, being somebody who's got three daughters and, I know how I would feel if that situation came up with me and something like that. So not that, you know, people, you know, let you judge, right? Who, you know, you don't want to just sit here and be judgmental, but it's definitely, you know, something we have to, that the league has to address and that the courts have to address.
No, and I'm glad you mentioned that, Joe, because we were praising people, you know, the Chiefs ambassadors. We were praising people like Tom Bahali in that, you know, the Chiefs have so many character guys. So this is an issue. We shouldn't be just glossed over as an organization. I think the Chiefs do like to pride themselves on having those high character guys. So that is an issue. On the field, I do wonder if, you know, Chris Jones is going to sign at some point, or at least if he doesn't get a new contract, I still think he shows up. He's, you know, he's not going to turn down $20 million and not play this year. But, you know, if he's a little bit rusty and Amenihu's a little bit rusty, I mean, the D-line's not super deep. I think this is I think it could impact the Chiefs early on. Now, the season is so long now. As we say, September is the new preseason with 17 games. Six games isn't as long. And I think the Chiefs really need to be just in good shape for the stretch run. And I think they'll be fine there. But I think this could impact them early on for sure.
Yeah, no, it's going to have an impact for sure. And, you know, like I said, that like we nailed all the points. They're not that deep. They've got young players. You know, I know we've talked a lot about George and his development and how well he, you know, his rookie year seemed to progress, but still they're still really relatively young at that position. And especially from in totality, right? When you look at the whole entire rush, edge rushing, defensive end position. So yeah, I think we might see some of the ill effects of him not being out there right away and losing a step here and there. Cause, you know, I don't know particularly what it's going to be like, whether he's allowed to work out with the team and practice and not play. I didn't look that, to be honest, I didn't look into it that much from a in-depth in that perspective. But, you know, definitely going to, you know, affect his timing for sure. So,
and there are various benchmarks. He has to be away from the team a little bit. Then he can like work out with the team. So it's a little complicated. It's not like he's just gone for 6 weeks. It's kind of a gradual thing.
Yeah.
Have you been watching the clips of Justin Ross? I mean, I'm getting excited about this guy. Are you buying in about this exciting wide receiver?
Yeah, I mean, we all knew, right? I gotta give you a lot of credit, Jeff. I think you've been a Justin Ross fan.
I think
he seems to be past the injury and knock on wood, and you know he had all the skills, man, to do it. I think he could be the one, right? Could be the one that comes along once in a team's not generation, but you know, once in a team's chemistry that all unfolds as the seasons progress, he could be that guy that they found. And you know, let's give Brett Beach a lot of credit for digging him up and getting him out there and putting him where they needed him to be. So I think he could be.
He's 6'4", and is a freshman at Clemson, you know, where you're going against, you know, some of the best teams, including when they, you know, played Alabama in the college football playoffs. So he's 6'4", and as a freshman at Clemson, he had 46 catches for 1,000 yards and 9 touchdowns. You know, it's not – he was doing it on as high a level as you could do it in college before he had some serious injuries. He had a fusion surgery. I mean, that's pretty involving his neck. That's obviously very major. And then he had some foot issues. So I really think it just comes down to health. But it's really exciting to see. He clearly has talent. He clearly has size. So I think it's going to come down to obviously his health and whether he can, you know, that's why he didn't get drafted, with health issues. And it's kind of going, he's a Clemson guy. So he shared the same agent as Sammy Watkins. And I think that part of the reason the Chiefs were able to get him is, like, who doesn't want to go to the Chiefs and catch passes from Patrick Mahomes? That's going to make you look good and being in the Andy Reid offense. But Brett Veach had developed a relationship with Sammy Watkins' agent. And so that's why kind of the Chiefs were a good fit. Joe, this is probably the guy. So the Chiefs start their preseason Sunday versus the Saints. I'm excited for a lot of things. Justin Ross is, I think, the guy I'm really circling to see how he does in actually a more setting. Mm-hmm. Anything you're looking forward to seeing?
Well, I think, it's always, I'll be anxious to see who plays. Like, yeah. You know, who's going to go out, and I'm anxious to see what happens at the tackle position, right? I think that's, for me, of course, I'm going to be biased to that, you know, because of you know, my line, my love of the offensive line. But it's going to be interesting to see, I think, you know, see how Juwan and Donovan Smith, you know, pull it together, getting used to this offense, the big playbook, the calls, the transitions, the adjustments that you have to make with this offense. It's an ever evolving offense. So that, for me, is, as the preseason progresses, that's probably the position, for me, at least personally, that I'll be watching the most. I think there's a lot of positions that need to play out, right? Obviously, we talked, you know, about what happens with Justin Ross and the rest of the wide receiving core without Kadarius Toney. That's going to be interesting to see how that gels throughout the off or the preseason. Obviously, for me, I think the interior part of the offensive line is solid. We don't have to really worry about that. You know, how they get the rotation going with running back. I mean, there's still a lot of things here that, even though the Chiefs won the Super Bowl last year, there's still, I think, there's still even some question marks, right? And for me, on offense, it's the tackle position, and it's really wide receiver, right, to see how that comes about. Defensively, we talked a lot about it, right? It's going to be what happens on the defensive line if Chris mm-hmm. Jones comes back before too long and he gets some reps before the season opens, seeing how the Amenihu thing affects the depth of the rushing position. And then, you know, I think other than that, that's really all I'll focus on defense. I think we're pretty solid in the backfield. I think we'll be just fine at linebacker, at the linebacking core. So, you know, for me, it's about the tackles, the receivers, and the defensive ends. Those would be the three things I want to really focus on throughout the preseason.
I'm glad you mentioned the tackles, because, Donovan Smith's going to be very interesting to watch, because, you know, I think there's all sorts of scenarios. I think it could be a situation where last year he did struggle last year, but that could totally be just because he was playing hurt, and he could resemble the player he was earlier in his career and be fantastic. Or he could be, maybe it wasn't the injury, maybe he's just gotten a little older and declined as a player, or it could be somewhere in between. He's better than he was last year, but he's not quite what he was during his peak years of player. So, Joe, I think that's going to be a really interesting to see. Might be a little bit tougher, you know, in preseason. It's not kind of the exotic blitzes and stuff, but you can still tell something, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I mean, you can tell whether players, just by the way they carry themselves, how they're doing injury-wise and how their physical health is and what kind of shape they're in. There's definitely some signs that you can see, you know, foot movement, because that's not going to change, right? They're still going to want to perform. No matter whether they're playing against a second, third, fourth string, you know, defensive end or defensive tackle, those players are still trying to make a roster. And, you know, so you can watch for certain things. For me, it's about watching their feet, right, to see how they're dealing with the speed of this offense and how well they can keep up from a conditioning perspective, because it's pretty fast-paced offense. They don't huddle for long. Patrick gets the calls pretty quick. You don't see a lot of delay of games. Patrick likes to get a lot of plays in the game. So, you know, they move on this offense and they're always going. So it'll be interesting to see how they're affected by that.
Great tip there, Joe, about watching their feet. Well, if you enjoyed this show presented by Bet Online, please subscribe. We're available on your favorite directories, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Luminary, and TuneIn. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.
Go Chiefs!